Okay. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Your plan is unfolding.
Your plan is unfolding.
And I'm going to cooperate.
And I'm going to cooperate.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
For this day.
For this day.
As you continue.
As you continue.
To manifest your presence.
Your presence.
On this Pentecost celebration.
On this Pentecost celebration.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm taking you to Acts chapter 2 in the Amplified. It's important that it's the Amplified because there's a couple of words that are going to, I pray, unlock some things within us. You have to remember that the apostles, since they were children, were celebrate this feast every single year. It wasn't strange. Plus, you've also got to remember Mary, who is definitely with her children, and they are a part of what's happening in Jerusalem. Now, when they went up to the temple, it was not something new that they did. It was something they did every year. Once a year, the Spirit would come by faith for them. Now, there are times that you and I can say a prayer, and that prayer is said in faith and nothing manifests. And you look and you say, well, now when is it going to happen to me? And so I believe that, like I was sharing with you before the communion, about the triangle coming down with its point coming into the earth, and the other triangle, which is like the pyramid, pointing up, is man. So when man and God meet, man was the first to, let's say, obey what heaven had already decreed. Heaven had said, you're going to have a Passover. But they had already experienced a Passover. They had celebrated that Passover every year. They remembered what happened in Egypt. They remembered how the chosen people of God were protected. And even the Egyptians who came into their house was protected. So they had an awareness of what that was. Yet the sacrificial lamb was about Jesus. They had put that together to a degree, because now Jesus had been coming and visiting with them with his new body. He had been coming to visit, and he had promised them, if you stick together and you stay focused on me, I will bless you. And he told them to stick it out, to intercede, to pray for one another. Now, everybody did not stay. You check out Acts chapter 1, you'll find out that 380 approximately walked away. Why? They had maybe a bunch of excuses. Well, not time to go to church today. We ain't got time. I don't want to be involved. Yeah, I'm sure that when Jesus showed up, they saw him just as well as the other 120. What's the difference between 120 and a 380? John, what's the word?
260.
Not the difference in numbers.
Oh.
The difference in character. Ah.
120 is completion and government.
Plus 120 that were dedicated and would stick to it no matter what the price. And they dedicated to obey what Jesus had told them to stay, because they would be the recipients. Was the offer made to 500 or 120?
500.
Yeah. So, think about what's happening right now in your heart. Are you a part of the 380 that are busy to do whatever you want? Or will you lay down your will and let the Holy Ghost do what he promises that he will do, because it's Pentecost again? But you see, a personal Pentecost can change your tomorrow. A walk away Pentecost means you're going to stay the same. Why? Or you're going to decrease. How many of you have ever seen yourself decrease? Thank you. You make the decision. Nobody's going to make that decision for you. When you laid down, Gail, you laid down your life and you said, let your plan unfold. Jesus gave us an example. You, Lord Father, have already commissioned me. I know there's a crucifixion ahead. I know there's some whipping that's going to happen, but I'm willing to go through it in order for my other, meaning members of the body, would join him. There are times that you're going to know that you're about to enter a den of thieves. You're going to enter into a place where things are not quite smooth. And you're going to have people that love you, supposedly, but their purpose is to trip you and to abort what's in you. Mm-hmm. That which is aborted to you is like the 380. 380 had an abortion. Were they aware? It was a spiritual abortion. Yes, a spiritual needle that came with a thought pattern. Oh, well. You've got this to do, and you better take care of that, because this crazy idea of sitting in Jerusalem for all those days don't make sense. Look at your neighbor, say, God's not sensible.
God's not sensible.
But he isn't. See, because the logical ones had all kinds of excuses. I got to pay the rent. My electric light bill will be due. If I don't get back home, if I stay in Jerusalem, I'm going to what? Have my power shut off. Oh, I was supposed to celebrate somebody's family members. Oh, I was supposed to have a birthday party for somebody. And look at that, I'm going to miss it because I got to stay here. Baloney. And they went off and did as they pleased. The 120 said, I don't care what's going on out there. I'm listening to Jesus. I'm going to be there when his spirit comes down. I'm going to get everything that's due me. And there will be no abortion. And it all starts with what?
In mind.
What is in my mind? My mind will abort. My soul will abort. Everything that's been planned for me. And I can change it by being determined to stay focused on him and to let his will be done, not mine.
Amen.
When my will is done, I abort the plan. And I can't blame the neighborhood. The only person that didn't lay down is me. I don't want to pay the price for the next 10 years for this to manifest the way I want. There was a season in my life that the Lord put that to me. He said, will you put the idol that you worship on my altar and let it burn? And you know what the name that was on that idol? Anybody got a clue what that idol was for Kim?
Yeah. Irene.
Yes, it's my wife. I had to put her on the altar and let go. And I didn't want to. My soul was tied. My emotions were tied. And there's one person in this house that can tell you that it's the truth. And her name is Mary, and she's sitting right over there. And she watched those 10 years. You say, well, 10 years ain't so bad. Try it. You just try it. Offer up the next 10 years willingly. And then you'll find a bunch of reasoning that comes up to abort what God has planned for you. And I know I'm preaching. Chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. All 120, the 380 are already gone. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house. It didn't fill half a house. It filled the whole house where the 120 were, in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and that settled on each one of them. They were filled. They were filled. Diffused through their souls. Diffused through their souls. So what was happening in their souls? They were being what? Made one with him. The spirit within them was coming alive, and their souls was backing down with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other different foreign languages as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expressions.
Amen.
And each tongue in appropriate words. Now there were then residing in Jerusalem Jews devout and God-fearing men from every country under heaven. Why? Because it was a celebration for all the nations. All the nations that wanted to join. You saw some of that happen this past week on Monday.
Yes.
All the nations that wanted to join and recognize Jerusalem. There is a day happening right now that you can't deny.
Amen.
God is at work.
Amen.
And he's changing this whole atmosphere of the earth.
Right.
He is doing it, and we need to cooperate. We need to give up our plan and let his plan unfold. And when this sound was heard, the multitudes came together and they were astonished. It was a what? Multitude. And bewildered. Because each one heard them speaking in his particular dialect. If I would have been there, it wouldn't have been in English that I would have heard it. I would have heard them worshiping in French. And I'll tell you something. There were times that I listened to people in worship sessions, and if there's a French voice, I automatically zing to it. I can't tell you what happens. I can tell you it connects something deep within me that I can't describe. There are times the Holy Spirit will say, now pray for this one, but pray in French. Oh, you say, wait a minute, that's kind of stupid. You can talk English. Ah, there are extra words in French that are not in the English language. There are beautiful descriptions that I can pray in French, and even my goosebumps get bigger. Why? Because God is in me.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn around and say, God's in you.
God's in you.
Get a load of it.
Get a load of it.
Realize it.
Realize it.
He's not partly with the neighbor.
He's not partly with the neighbor.
He's fully with us.
He's fully with us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh my God. We're having fun here. 7, verse 7. And they were besides themselves with amazement, saying, are not all these who are talking Galileans? Then how is it that we hear each of us in our own particular dialect, which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the provinces of Asia, Phrygia, Philemia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, about Cyrene and the transients, residents from Rome, both Jews and proselytes to Judaism, from other religions, Cretans, Arabians too. We all hear them speaking in our own native tongue and telling of the mighty works of God. And all were besides themselves with amazement, were puzzled and bewildered, saying to one another, what can this mean? But others made a joke of it and derisively said, "They are simply drunk and full of sweet, intoxicating wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "You Jews, and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be explained to you so that you will know and understand. Listen closely to what I have to say. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is only the third hour, about 9 o'clock on the day. But instead, this is the beginning," say the beginning,
"the beginning
of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, declares the Lord, or declares, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsel, and young men shall see visions," that is, divinely granted appearances. Notice again, divinely granted appearances, "and your old men shall dream," divinely suggested dreams. Yes, "and on my men, men servants also, and on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I will prophesy.
I will prophesy.
I will prophesy to the north.
I will prophesy to the north.
Prophesy to the south.
Prophesy to the south.
East and west.
East and west.
And I will tell.
And I will tell.
The forthcoming divine counsel.
Forth the divine counsel.
And predicting the future.
And predicting the future.
Even events.
Even events.
That are prepared by God.
That are prepared by God.
Because His kingdom.
Operates.
Operates.
Through me.
No abortion.
No abortion.
Full-term babies.
Full-term babies. Yes.
That's today.
That's today.
And it's going to continue.
And it's going to continue.
And they're going to grow up.
And
you're going to
grow up.
So am I.
So am I.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got the message.
Pastor.
Now you got to carry.